We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking with Alana Parker from the Riley County Historical Museum. She is the curator of design out there, and kind of getting back into the Halloween theme here. What else do we have? Halloween traditions, maybe?
Or? Halloween traditions, and one of those, in looking locally, unfortunately got people in trouble sometimes, were Halloween pranks. So when you get into the trick or treat, well, even in the 1880s here in Manhattan, there were some troublemakers on Halloween, which sometimes we still get that today. But there's some of them are, you hate to laugh at them, they're kind of funny, but at the same time, you could see where they might be a little dangerous. So one of those that we found, this was November 7th, so they reported after the fact, Halloween 1885. It said, Halloween this year seems to have furnished the excuse for a lot of the most unhallowed pranks on part of the students. The number of gates unhinged, outbuildings of the unmentionable sort inverted, which came in sight with daylight on Sunday morning, bore evidence of the remarkable industry boys will show when engaged in a disreputable sport. So when they're talking about turning over outhouses.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
In unhinging gates, that was a common theme during the 1880s, just removing the gate from its hinge, letting livestock out or whatever the case may be. So then in 1885 again, the students who turn themselves loose so recklessly on Halloween have had dealings with the faculty, we hear, two of them meeting with suspension for a term. So there were repercussions for their actions. We are proud of our Western students in that they don't haze, and now if they will practice the virtue of letting others' property alone, even in fun, they will be ideal young Americans. So that was kind of a the trick-or-treat, and in researching just nationwide, kind of where that came from. In the 1920s and 30s, it was this idea of giving treats as almost a bribe to encourage younger folk, instead of partaking in mischief and pranks, the trick part, here's a treat instead. So it's almost this bribery of going and knocking on somebody's door. If they give you candy, then you won't egg their house or what have you. So, but early on, I mean, there's quite a few different incidents that happened in our community here. One that I thought was really funny, this was in 1890. One of the cannons at the college was taken up on Bluemont Hill last night and fired off several times to remind the citizens of Halloween. Now, if you've ever been up on Bluemont Hill, first of all, they're hauling this cannon from the college up there and then setting it off. And another article mentioned they did this at 3 a.m, setting off three loud cannon booms to let everybody know it was Halloween. So that one was kind of a funny one. This was 1887. During the jamboree on Halloween, someone exchanged two of the wheels on John Hessen's buggy. After using the buggy several days, someone called his attention to the fact that a front and rear wheel did not run well on the same axle. John said he knew something was wrong, but had not been able to discover what it was. So some of those more harmless pranks, switching the wheels on a buggy, removing gates. Usually the property would turn back up. But there was one situation, and this is when we talk about some of the more dangerous things that happened. This was in 1890, reported in the Manhattan Mercury. Someone devoid of sense opened two of the hydrants Halloween and drained the reservoirs nearly dry. The only protection we have from fire is the water in the reservoirs, and a concentrated effort should be made by the citizens of Manhattan to learn the name of the guilty party and secure his arrest if possible. The superintendent of the waterworks offers $25 for the arrest of the guilty party, and we trust the city council will add 100 more to this reward. So that's one of the pranks that went obviously a little too far when you're draining of the water supply. And that was in 1890 there. And they did find who did that. They did have to face the consequences to that. So those types of things happened even then. And hopefully, you know, today people who play any pranks are on the safer side and are considerate of people's personal property and their well-being. So some of those do go a little too far, though. I don't think growing up I did anything anything like that. But and in looking at the papers, I will say it's always young boys. Yeah. They talk about it's the young boys in the community who are getting into trouble.
That's interesting. I can't imagine, like, what would be the comparison here? Not taking, obviously, a cannon. You probably would never take a cannon up onto Blue Mile Hill these days, but maybe lighting fireworks? I mean, I don't...
Yeah, that would be... That's a good comparison. Yeah, lighting fireworks off at 3 in the morning in town. I could see that getting some attention, but that's a funny story. And they did that a couple times throughout the 1880s into the 1890s, hauling that cannon up there on Bluemont Hill from the college. So I thought that was a really funny one.
Yeah, and of course, maybe they need to do something with April Fool's Day so we can get people to stop pranking us on April Fool's Day. Give away candy or something. Maybe that would be a nice way.
That's a good bribe. I like that idea. But I've got one more here I thought would be kind of fun to share. And just some of the language that they use in the newspaper. So this is 1887 in the Manhattan Nationalist. It said, on Monday night, Halloween, a grown-up hoodlum on horseback went around with a gang of small boys, 8 to 10 years of age, inciting them to mischief. To displace everything movable, signs, gates, footbridges, that was the game. For teaching profanity, vulgarity, and general lawlessness, it was successful school. By such means, even little children rapidly ripen into criminals. It said, we heard the little tots bragging of having their knives ready to cut anyone who interfered with their mischief. So this is pretty serious stuff here for 1887.
Yeah.
So those kind of things happened where Halloween was really taken to the next level with some of these pranks.
So when do we start seeing, you mentioned when candy and treats started coming out. Was that more of a turn of the century then when we started seeing that be more of a thing with Halloween rather than the tricks?
Well, and that's a great question. In just researching nationwide, it looked like, well, the first mention of trick-or-treating in our local papers was 1943, when you can actually find that it's termed trick-or-treating. And then, looking nationwide, it's unknown precisely where and when the phrase trick-or-treat was coined. The custom has been firmly established, though, in American popular culture by 1951, when you start seeing it more in popular culture, when trick-or-treating was depicted in the Peanuts comic strip. So in 1952, Disney produced a cartoon called Trick or Treat featuring Donald Duck and his nephews Huey, Dewey, and Louie. So that's when you start seeing it really cemented in popular culture. But it goes back, as far as trick or treating, for centuries, where you had people going door to door, they called souling, where they would go door to door. And it was so early on, it was mostly those who didn't have the means for food and would go door to door. They would be given money or what they called soul cakes. So they would give soul cakes, and the intent of that was the person would then wish the person who gave them the cake well-being throughout the next year. So Halloween's an interesting mishmash of different cultures and traditions. But here in the United States, it was when in the 1840s with the potato famine that you have several immigrants from Irish descent bringing over the Celtic tradition of Halloween. And so in the 1840s, that's when you really start seeing this introduction of Halloween traditions in American culture that we think of today.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. There are so many different cultures that have done different things here. That's interesting that you mentioned that the cartoons, because it feels like pop culture has a major influence on a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. Well, and that's what even talking about Halloween costumes. We were talking about that earlier. And from our generation, dressing up as Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
For example, or I know my dad's pride and joy was making a Tin Man costume for me when I was about 5 years old. So the Wizard of Oz, that was something in our household that we watched all the time. But yes, anything in popular culture definitely has an impact on Halloween costumes too, even for kids. You can see what's popular in society. And that's another thing that was kind of fun. The earliest mention of Halloween costumes in our local newspapers was found in 1910. So when they really started, at least locally, advertising costume parties and dressing up as different costumes, oftentimes kids in the neighborhood, they would steal sheets off the line and of their mother put the laundry out, cut holes in the sheets, which of course they're ruined then. So ghosts, that was a popular costume at the turn of the century. But by today's standards, though, I thought this was kind of an interesting fact. Americans spent $490 million on costumes just for their pets in 2019.
Wow.
No, thank you. I think I have better things to spend my money on than a costume for my pet. And that's nearly double what they spent just a decade earlier. So,
that's insane.
So costumes, too, for pets and then those kinds of things are popular.
Should we take a break? Let's take a break here and we'll talk some more here. Halloween traditions, costumes, and much more with Alana Parker as we continue in focus on News Radio KMAN.